This station is not responsible for the problems that Mark may cause for the following: wives, mothers, daughters, ex-wives, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, stepmothers, daughters, and in-laws. If you find yourself agreeing with everything Mark says, please seek professional help.
Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is my wife, Renee. Between the two of us, we have almost 80 years in the auto repair industry.
Ooh, that sounds bad.
Between the two of us.
I know, but that's a long time.
I know, it's 39 each. But yeah. I added a couple, okay. I knew I'd get you to wake up from your stupor by doing that. Nevertheless, we're talking about cars. 602-508-0960, and I'll wait for the doorbell, but I want to tell you a story.
Okay.
I got an email from a gentleman. He's in line at a car repair shop, and he overhears the technician and the service writer talking to an elderly lady, and he overhears them tell her that we have lots of dirty gas in Arizona, and as a result of the dirty gas, she needs to have a flush of her intake manifold and her injectors and cleaning of the throttle body. Those are all three valid services. But you know what? They don't appear in your owner's manual.
Right.
And that's because they're symptom driven. If you have a problem, then we fix it with cleaning your fuel injectors. Or if we're going to find out if the fuel injectors are the problem, we'll flush them. And if it gets better, boom, we know it's the fuel injectors. If it gets worse, boom, we know it's the fuel injectors. Or if it fixes it, we're better shape. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the dirty gas really wadded up his underwear.
Okay.
So he waited for a minute, and then he walked over to the elderly lady, and he says, I just want to give you my 2 cents. I wouldn't have that done. And here's why. This dirty gasoline hypothesis, and he didn't use the words I'm going to use, but that's BS.
Okay.
And that's not true, and our gasoline is dirty, and that whole thing is just... it's fraud as far as I'm concerned. They are defrauding someone. They are lying to them to butter their bread. Mm-hmm. And that's the worst of our industry. So part of what we do is we call this self-defense for car expense. And here's how she could have handled it that would have completely told her everything she needs to know. And pretend that you're the service writer, okay? And
okay.
I'm the old lady.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, oh, that's just so very interesting. But, you know, my husband wants that kind of stuff, and I'm not very good at telling him, no, whether she has a husband or not, I'm not very good at regurgitating or telling him. So if you would just write on the back of your card what you're talking about and put the price, I would really appreciate it. And also, just do it on the back of your card so he knows who to call back.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't never going to happen.
They're not going to do that.
They're not going to do that at all. They're not going to write down Arizona has dirty gas, and as a result, you need to spend hundreds of dollars cleaning up your fuel system.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do that. They're going to come up with some stupid excuse, have your husband call me, hand you your business card, but they're not going to write it down. The guys in the industry that are truly honest are going to write it down. They're going to sign their names to it. You have a broken shock absorber. It's the right front. That's the clunk you've got. Here is the estimate for the repair, and that includes the part, the labor, the alignment, the sales tax, the shop supplies, and the environmental charges. That's a out-the-door price. It will not exceed that.
Right.
That's what good guys do. But the bad men and women, and I hesitate to call them men and women, but I'm not allowed to use words I want to use. They're just, and here's the problem, folks. The cars of today, certainly for the last 5, 6, 7 years, we've gone from a service interval from 30, 60, and 90,000 miles. So we had a lot of stopping points at 30, at 60, and 90. The newer model cars don't even start doing any service until 60. It's a small amount of service at 60, and then we really get heavy in the service 80 to about 110.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing lots of fluids after 100,000 miles or close to 100,000 miles. We're doing lots of things. Spark plugs that cost $20 and $30 a piece for a 6-cylinder is a big number, but those are very lucrative too.
Yes.
And they're easy to do, and there's really no risk. And so you can sell somebody on the idea that, you know, you need your spark plugs now. The self-defense mechanism is to say, you know, I know you're kind of busy right now, but let me go get my owner's manual and you show me where it says that in the maintenance. And I'm telling you, it won't happen.
Right.
Because they can't and they won't and they know they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So just simple self-defense for car expense ideas, I'm giving you these, and let me tell you about my background. I've been an ASC Master Certified Technician now, doggone all my life. We've been in business, you and I together, for 39 years. We got 35, 36,000 customers. Mm-hmm. We have a thousand or more employees over the 39 years.
Oh, yeah.
And we know the good guys and the bad guys, but we've chosen to take the high road and just do what we're going to do to your car as we treat your mom and dad and my mom and dad.
Yeah.
So
it bothers me when they start tag teaming them and scaring them into some kind of repair that they don't really need. That's what really bothers me.
That brings you up to the self-defense for car expense tip 3.
Okay.
Is this going to cause the need of a tow truck?
Right.
That's a good question, because if they say yes, because we need to clean your throttle blades and we need to clean your injectors and this is going to cause you the need of a tow truck, there's a whole lot of us, maybe 80 or 90% of the industry is going to say, raise their hand and say BS.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. That's now, a timing belt that's way past due is a tow truck kind of thing.
Sure.
A wheel bearing that's bad, something that's going to cause your car to break down is a fuel pump that's substandard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to leave you stranded. And the pressure's supposed to be 40. You're having a tough time making 33. The threshold is 30, so you're only 3 pounds above the threshold. So as long as you don't drop below 30, it'll run.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of sound you want to hear. Those are the kind of numbers. Under the best of conditions, not even under the best of the conditions, if they write it down on the work order, it's as good as gold.
Right.
The problem is they won't, because
sure,
they're not allowed to, or they don't have time, or whatever. So there's three different industries that we survive in. There's the chain stores. There's the independent garages, and then there's the dealerships. Would you agree with me that they're all equally have, they all have the equal amount of bad people in them?
I don't know. I don't feel like that, but
I do.
Okay.
I do.
I mean,
the chain stores have bad guys.
Yeah.
The independents have bad guys. The dealerships have bad guys.
And I'm thinking more of our list. I know that, you know, all the people that we have on our list, they're all so honest. It's crazy. And so that's kind of where yes, I guess that's true.
Okay. What you're bringing up is since 1988, I've been in radio in the Valley, and we have a best car repair shops list. The list is on our website, marksalem.com. I'm in the business, so I know these guys.
Mm-hmm.
But here's my promise. If you have a problem with one of the shops and you file a Better Business Bureau complaint, and the Better Business Bureau tells the shop to give you money back or to fix your car, if the shop doesn't, two things happen. Number one, we kick the shop off our list in a very public way. As you'll see, if you go look at our list right now,
mm-hmm,
there's three of them. Two of them been kicked off, and the third one's just ready to get kicked off.
Right.
Number two, we will make we'll fix your car up to $5,000, or we'll make the refund up to $5,000. For the first time ever, our exposure is about $2,000 on a deal right now.
Yes.
But we're prepared to write the check to the customer,
mm-hmm,
because the shop apparently won't. So we're prepared to do that. First time since 1988.
Yeah.
So we put our money where our mouth is. We know the good guys. We know how they act. We know how they behave. And we're really proud. It's fair to say that we don't even have one complaint a year on what apparently is, the list is floating from 30 to 55 shops.
Mm-hmm.
One complaint a year.
Yeah, we don't. They always take care of themselves. So if they have a complaint or something, we don't have to get involved.
And the tie goes to the runner most of the time. If
right,
it's an iffy thing, the shop just, you know, says, okay, we'll work this out.
Exactly.
Okay, Gil, we have somebody on the phone.
Yes, Hector.
Hector, good morning to you. How can I help you?
How you doing? Well, real quick, I'll tell you the symptoms. 2 weeks ago, my power steering started making a humming noise.
Okay.
So I changed the seals on there, but it continued to still keep humming really loudly. It's a squealing noise.
Okay.
Now today, as I was going to save up the chain set, the power steering pump, and now today as I was driving, the lights and switches, the indicator lights and the radio and the air conditioning started turning off and on. So I went to a parts store, had them test the battery. It wouldn't start, so they had to jump the battery. Obviously, the battery's dead. I had them test the alternator. They said it was running at 9 volts instead of 12. So I was just wondering, does it have anything to do with the power steering pump not giving the alternator enough juice, or do I just need to change the alternator as a battery?
Hector, I have a lot of problems with what you said, but I'm not upset with you. I'm upset with the whole thing. The number one thing is that if the noise that you've got on the power steering is either going to be described as a whining noise or a squealing noise. Those are the only two noises power steering pumps make. The whining noise is indication that it's either low on fluid or it's got an air leak in the return line and we're sucking air, which causes the fluid to turn to a foam, which causes the whining noise. So okay. I don't know if you got a whining noise or a squealing noise, but if you got a squealing noise and we got a battery that's dead, then the alternator, then the belt is the number one thing I would change, and I would make doggone sure I got the right belt and I installed it right. Here's the problem I got with the parts store. Let me ask you a question, Hector. A battery that's okay charged is 12 volts, and a battery that's fully charged is 13 volts, okay? Yours has 9.
2 minutes.
That's I promise alternator. You this, huh?
That was the alternator, he said.
Oh, that was the battery
the
voltage.
Okay.
Okay, that's the battery voltage the alternator had, and they said it's supposed to have 12.
Gotcha.
That's a lie.
Okay.
First of all, you can't test a dead battery because they all fail.
Right.
So you have to charge the battery and get it up between 12 and 13 volts before you can test it. So condemning the battery because it has 9 volts is not true. It's a lie, flat out. So we have to take that battery and charge it up. Then we can condemn it. And then when we apply the load to it, we're gonna start hopefully around 13 volts, between 12.6, 12.8, and 13 volts. We're gonna apply a load, and it's not allowed to drop below 9.6. But when we let go of the load, it's supposed to boom back right up to go 12.8. So we see the needle go to somewhere north of 9.6, and then when we let go of the load, boom, it comes back up. That's a good battery. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen is according to them, we're going to sell you a battery and probably an alternator. And by the way, here's a belt. And really, it was the belt all along. So he could have spent $35, $45 at most shops. They would have charged the battery for him. They would have tested the battery and tested the alternator. They would have found the belt that was bad. They would have said, Hector, go buy an alternator belt. Look here how the pulley spins. Look how loose the belt is. See you later. $35, $45, you're out the door. That's what should have happened. So, Hector, I don't know about your car, but I think based on the good information you've given me, you got a power steering noise. I think it's a squeal. You got a dead battery. I think they go hand in hand. I think you have a bad fan belt. And if you're going to fix this yourself, you didn't tell me what kind of car it is, but if you're going to fix it yourself, you might have $25 worth of belt or less and 20, 30, 40 minutes of labor to replace the belt, depending on what car he's got. So, good luck, Hector. I appreciate you calling me, and hopefully I helped you save money. But I certainly wouldn't condemn the battery right now, because you cannot test a dead battery. And I think your battery's dead because the belt's loose. So I think the alternator's fine. We just need to drive it with a good belt. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. 602-508-0960. If you have a car problem, we'll talk symptoms. Give me the year, make, and model of your car so I have that. I didn't get that from Hector, but that's my fault, not his. Mm-hmm. 602-508-0960. You know, years and years ago, when we created the best car repair shops, we were the first ones of what they call the referral network.
Right.
So now everybody has a list of the very best restaurants, the very best everything imaginable. But in 1988, when we started this, there was no one out there. We started it because that's the number one question on the radio is where's your shop, or where's a shop good close to me? Well, we're not interested in bringing everybody to Phoenix to our shop. We're interested in sending you to a shop we know geographically is in your area that we can stand behind.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea.
Makes it easier for them to find somebody that's trustworthy and reliable that they can go to easily.
And close by.
Yeah.
So Action Auto is exactly that kind of shop. I-17 in Deer Valley. He's been on our best car repair shops list for years. I've known him since the early 80s. His name is Tom. Whatever your repair needs are, Tom and his staff, quality workmanship, excellent customer service, fast turnaround time, ASE Master Certified Technicians, and they're going to help you understand what you need and point to your owner's manual and tell you why so you can make informed decisions. Action Auto Repair, Northwest Corner, I-17 in Deer Valley. And Dave, you're up first. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. I have a 2011 Porsche.
Okay.
And check engine light comes on.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I got the codes cleared, and I know what's going on with it because it has to do with a gas cap.
Okay.
So I had the codes cleared, but that's not the problem. The problem is I took it to admissions, okay?
Okay.
But I took it to admissions within a day or so after I had the codes cleared. And they wouldn't clear me through admissions because I didn't put enough miles on the car.
Okay, I can explain that. Okay?
Yeah.
It's called resetting the maintenance monitors, okay? They know, the car makers know full well that people disconnect the battery, clear the codes, and go past emissions. So what they did is they put a monitor in all these different systems. So, I'm exaggerating, please understand. But the monitor says that you have to accelerate 72 times, you have to go no faster than 35 miles an hour for 4 minutes, you have to go this many fast, you have to this many RPM, the engine has to have this many hot heat cycles, otherwise start cold and go hot. It has all this stuff necessary. You can't imagine how much fun it is for Renee and I to go try to reset a monitor. Now, we've plugged our computer in, and I'm telling her I need 35 miles an hour for the next 2 minutes. She says, I can't do this. We're on I-10. I can't do that. So we do it in the middle of the night, and we drive around. I say, okay, I need 75. And she says, do you want me to get on the freeway, or do you want me to do it on Camelback? Mm-hmm. And so we go through this whole thing. It's going to take you 2 weeks to reset the monitor. Here's the bad news. You better be right on that gas cap, because if not, you're not going to reset the monitor in 2 weeks. So if you drive the car, put on some mileage in the 2 weeks, drive the heck out of it, start it up, you know, hit different speeds, different RPMs, it should reset the monitor. And then when you go through, they plug in, boop, the monitor's reset, and you're on your way. But if you didn't diagnose it right and it's an evaporative leak somewhere else in the system and the new gas cap wasn't the problem at all, the monitor will not reset, and then you're going to have to go find the other problem. Okay?
Okay. I appreciate it, Mark.
Okay. You betcha, Dave. Thank you very much. Lance, you're up next. How can I help you, Lance?
Mark, I got to tell you, I really love your program. I listen as often as I can.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great show. I've got a 2006 Audi A4 Avant. That's the station wagon version of the Audi A4.
Okay.
And I just had all the front end work done because there was some noise turning.
Okay.
And that's all gone. But now I've got in bumpy parking lots and places like that where the road is a little bit rough and I'm going only 5 or 10 miles an hour. I've got a noise that sounds like metal on metal or bumping, you know, maybe when the front end is going through a lot of bumps.
Extensions, where the front end is bouncing, so it's compressing and extending. So
yes.
Okay, and you got a noise there. And let me ask you a question. Is this noise since they did the front end work?
I've noticed it since they got done with the front end work.
Okay.
All the parts in the front end have been replaced, but I don't know that it was only after. It could have been, you know, before as well.
Okay. There's a good chance. Well, there's a 50-50 chance, to be fair to the shop and you both. There's a 50-50 chance this is theirs. However, this is how I would want you to handle it if you were my customer. Mm-hmm. Mark, you just did some front-end work on it, and for all intents and purposes, I'm really happy. But I've got this problem, and I don't quite know. Maybe the noise from the old front-end covered it up, but I've got this problem, and I'd like to demonstrate to you, so come take a ride with me. I'm not going to have you for, you know, 2 hours while we drive around at the 8 looking for a bump. So I'll take your technician for a quick...
I forgot to tell you that I did that.
Okay.
And what did they say?
I took it back to the shop, and we took a ride, and you know, the classic story... You can't get the mechanic in the car while it's doing the noise, but I don't think we found bumpy enough roads.
Okay, all right.
But
well,
after the fact, I went to a bumpy parking lot and I heard it.
Okay, that's part of the thing. You have to learn how to make it happen. So you can learn how to make it happen. Take them behind the Bashers or the Fries or the Safeway. Find the speed bump and hit it. There's plan B is just as simple. Raise it up on an alignment rack where it's resting on its wheels. You crawl, you walk underneath it. You take a rubber mount and you start beating on stuff. You're going to find the rattle.
Okay.
So the question is this. What is it? And then once we figure out what it is, we'll know whose fault it is. And if it's Mark Shop's fault, we'll know it. We left something loose. Or if it's something not, like a sway bar bushing that's all of a sudden come apart, and we didn't do the sway bar bushings because they were fine. So we put the sway bar bushings in, and you're home free. So when you rebuild the front end of an Audi, like many other sophisticated suspension cars, you better know your stuff. You better not be a tire guy. You better know your stuff.
Well, this shop is exclusively European autos and mostly Audis.
Okay, and that's fine, but the front end on an Audi is no different than a Chevy, Ford, a Honda, Toyota, Chrysler. Okay, they're the same.
Mm-hmm.
They all have the same components.
Okay.
So I think what you need to do is learn how to make it happen, go back and ask for the test drive again. But I'm going to tell you this. No one knows whose fault it is until we know what it is. And once we know what it is, we know whose fault it is. And that goes at my shop as well. You can hold me to that. All of you can hold me to that standard because I'm telling you on the radio, it's the truth. So go back again. Learn how to do it. Go back again. Obviously not Monday morning or Friday nights. Just go back again and say, I can make it happen. Let me borrow your technician for 10 minutes and go from there.
Okay, excellent. Have you got time for one last question on that same car?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
All right. We did the rear brakes almost a year ago, and at the same time as the front end work, we actually had the front brakes done. But there's nothing wrong with the stopping. There's nothing wrong with the handling. There's nothing wrong with the brakes, as far as I can tell, except that they squeak as you're braking when it's cold.
Okay.
And I'm not curious. I'm curious. It sounds like the wear indicator, but I'm not sure why it's still squeaking when it's brand new brake.
I'm not quite sure your Audi has a brake indicator, but let me ask you this: how much was the brake job? Do you remember? Was it 200? Was it 400? Was it 500? Do you remember?
I think they charged me three something.
Okay, that's a fair price. Mm-hmm. That kind of gives me an idea. They did more than pads and machining the rotors. They probably had a rotor or two. It's normal for new brakes to squeak gently until they wear in. If you find out it's only cold and never again, that's okay. And then if you find out that light application may return the squeal, but a little heavier may not, that eliminates the squeal, then a change of driving habits would be it. It's not a bad thing for it to squeal. They're brand new. There's no damage occurring. But this is a situation that happens 10% of the time to us. Would you agree?
Yep. We just had somebody the other day. Yeah.
And we go in and check it all out. But there are, with new pads, especially with new rotors, you've got two mismatched surfaces that have to get married.
Seat, I think and it's called. Yeah.
You're going to seat the pads. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to, go get your wife and get your truck and tell your wife you're going to chase her, and she's going to really apply the brakes as she goes through the corner because you're right on her rear bumper, and she'll seat the brakes within about 20 minutes. And so you just roughhouse the brakes for 3 or 4 days. Mm-hmm. Roughhouse the brakes for 3 or 4 days. Climb on them hard. Put your foot on the brake, but don't slide to a stop. I want you to kind of come up kind of fast and then just hit them hard and just don't squeal the tires. But let's roughhouse the brakes for 3 or 4 days and see what happens. But I got to run. Thank you very much. Okay, George, Roger, and Keith, you're my number 1, 2, and 3. I'll get you on the other side of this break. Anybody else? 602-508-0960. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If you have a question about my list of best car repair shops, this is how you do it. You go to marksalem.com, click the word best, boom, you're there. But let me tell you about one real quick. Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Been in Mesa since 1970. Brian and Thelma own, operate, and run Thompson's Auto Repair. They're on Main Street just east of Stapley. All you have to do is meet Brian or Thelma, both of them, and you'll understand what really good people are, as all of my shop owners are. But Brian and Thelma are the kind of folks that you want to live next door to. And they're really honest, they're dependable, and they have really good technicians. Thompson Auto Repair and Towing, Main Street, just east of Stapley. Let's go to the phone. George, thanks for holding. How can I help you?
Yes, I have a question. I have a 2018 Buick Enclave with the start-stop engine.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm doing to bypass that is I'm putting it in low gear, and I'm using the shift paddle, putting it up to gear 9. Will that be detrimental to the transmission if I do it over, you know, a several-year period?
And what are you trying to accomplish? You trying to keep the motor running at a stop or what?
Right, because it drives me crazy. I'm stopped, and it kicks in, and people in the car think we've been hit on a rear end.
Okay, all right. You are doing what most everybody does. Most everybody that I talk to, not most every drivers, but it's something you have to get used to. I can tell you the first time I ever drove a Tahoe that had electric start stop, I came to a stop, the oil pressure fell to zero, the engine died, and I'm driving a brand new $50,000 vehicle on my way to a television studio, and all of a sudden I am really scared that I just wiped this motor out. And for whatever reason, I took my foot off the brake and kind of hit the gas thinking, is the motor so quiet I can't hear it? And then, of course, the car took off.
Yeah.
You have to get used to this program. It is very dependable, I must tell you. very dependable. They have all kinds of safeguards, and they have all kinds of warning systems if the system sees a fault. But if you want to manipulate the shifter and you want to manipulate the car to where, in fact, it doesn't do that, there is no harm, no foul.
Oh, okay.
All righty?
All right.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that, George. Thank you. That's a great question. Let's go on with Keith. Keith, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark. Good to talk to you. I have a Saturn 2005 Ion. I know. I shouldn't have it.
You don't admit it.
I bought it 1 week ago at a new car Chevy dealer, and it has a... this is a question you normally wouldn't field, but I goofed up. I should have looked. I didn't bring my reading glasses when I was signing the contract, and they put the alleged old scam etched laser VIN number on the windows, right?
Yes.
Yep. So I took a big magnifying, high-quality magnifying glass over to them a few days later, and I said, can you please show, in the contract, I said, can you please show me where this VIN number is supposed to be on some of these windows? And they couldn't find it. So what I'm doing is disputing the charge on my debit card with my bank that they didn't perform what they allegedly were supposed to do for this to have any validity. And I'm saying that because they didn't, they can't even find the laser etching themselves, I say they didn't do it. I probably should have called handle on the law with this. And I'm disputing the charge.
Okay. I think I would do two things. I would do two things. Number one, I would let the, if it's a Chevrolet dealer, I would let Chevrolet know that you have a problem. And number two, I'd take that magnifying glass back.
Saturn Ion. Yeah. Okay.
I'd take that magnifying glass back. Okay. This is called an add-on. It's a lot of money. We do it in your benefit, but we make a lot of money on it. It's instead of buying the car and paying sales tax in the car, all of a sudden we have a desert protection package, and we have dock fees, and we etched the windows, and we tinted the windows, and all this stuff. It's an add. It makes a lot of money. So I would go back to the dealer. And I wouldn't say anything to him, and I just kind of wander through the used car area, and you say, you know, I'm looking at a car at another dealership, but I like yours better. It's a little bit of a lie, but he says he's got etching on the windows. Can you show me a car that has etching on the windows? And he says, yeah, I can. Come on over here. And you look at it. Maybe you take out your phone and you take a picture of it. Maybe you take it through the lens of your magnifying glass. One way or another, you can decide. Now, after you see a car that's had etching, you're going to know what it looks like. And you're going to see how to find it. And then you can write down something different. I went to the same place. I went on a Sunday or a Saturday or a Friday night. And I found a car that they pointed out, and here's a picture of the car, and here's a picture of the etching. Here's the deal. So you're going to be able to win this battle if you do that. The problem is you can't really dispute the whole ticket for just that. They're not going to let you...
No, just the partial price of, which was $228 for this alleged window etching, which they can't even find themselves.
Okay, and that's fine. If it was packaged with a lot of other stuff, the credit card companies aren't going to let you do that. But that and that alone, you'll probably... Now, they have to... You be nice about this. Be nice. But you say, I will make my car available one more time for them, but I'm not going to make my car available to have them fix their mistake. So they're this is not an opportunity for them to, we forgot, we'll do it now. No, that's not the case. I want my money back. They didn't etch my car. From all intents and purposes, they didn't etch my car. And so I'm not going to pay them. I want to dispute the charge. Most of the time, the credit card companies are going to err. The tie goes to the customer.
Yeah, but he's going to have to do the whole thing, and because they can't pick and choose part of the charge, I don't think. I think.
Well, but he said that that charge is just for the window.
With my bank, I can dispute just a part of the total charge.
Okay.
Oh, well, that's good. I didn't know that.
And we, as business people, once, I don't know, four or five times in 24 years in our facility, we've had somebody dispute it.
Yeah.
And almost always we just walk away from it. Mm-hmm. We're not going to fight you about it. Yeah. Just take the money back. But in your case, that's what I would do. Kind of go in there, don't say anything about it, and just see if they can show you a car, and you take a picture of the etching, and maybe take a couple of pictures, and just say, I'm not here. I'm going to put a piece of tape over the last six digits of this etching, because I'm not trying to steal the VIN number, but I just want to take a picture of it. Take a picture of it. That's how I do it. It's kind of an undercover thing. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yep.
So all I right. think you thank can pull you, this Mark. Off. All right. Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to go to Tom. Tom, you'll be our caller. Now that means we have four lines open. So Gil's snoring, and I can tell you can wake him up, 602-508-0960. My name is Mark Salem. This is Under the Hood every Saturday, 10 to noon. We'll be back. Information for you right now. We've got lots of information. Da, 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 da,
a lot of working going on in the background.
Oh,
here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I called a friend of mine who owns a used car lot, and I said to him, John, I want to talk about VIN etching. He said, I have to call you back. And I said, no, you can't call me back. I need it right now. So he says, Mark, it's on the driver's window above the latch. So your window's rolled up. There's going to be a VIN etching on the very bottom of the window in the bottom right-hand corner as you face the driver's door right above the door handle. And then what happens is my wife, who's sitting here next to me during the break, she goes, I have VIN etching on my car. And I said, we just had a conversation and you had headphones on. Yeah. You could have just piped up anytime you wanted to, but no, you let me swing like a door in the wind.
He already said it wasn't on there, so I didn't know. And if the dealership couldn't find it, because it's very, I mean, you can read it with the naked eye. You don't even need a magnifying glass, even me that wears glasses sometimes.
We would have been nice if you'd have chimed in, okay? We could have said to, who was it, Keith? We could have said to Keith, this is where it's at, because I didn't know where it's at, because I don't want VIN etching on my car.
I couldn't get a word in there. You were yapping too much.
Anyway, okay. Keith, bottom right of the driver's door with the window rolled up should be available to the naked eye. It's right above the sill, or the seal, I mm-hmm. should say, and it's right above the door handle. And right. you should be able to see it with the naked eye. And if you can't, you sure as heck can see it. Now, that's from two people who have VIN etching, which is my buddy John, who I went to high school with, and my wife, Renee, who I checked out of the insane asylum today. Nevertheless, let's go to Tom. Tom, good morning to you.
Great show, Mark. I appreciate it. I was going to change out my bottom radiator hose on my 06 Duramax.
Okay.
And boy, that's a big old long hose on there. And it might be more than what I could handle. What kind of cost do you think that would cost at a shop?
You know, I can tell you that we're going to be able to do it in one-third the time it takes you, because we've done it before. What you're looking at is you're trying to take the hose off without moving.
And replacing it.
Well, I understand that. Right. But it's a 1-2-3 thing. It's not a 1-2. So it's not take it off, loosen it up, take it off, and put it back on. It's you have to gain access to it. So it's much easier to move things out of the way. So maybe the radiator shroud, that the four bolts come off of it, and we fold it backwards towards the engine, which gives us more access. Maybe we pull the lower pan off of it so we have access to the lower clamp. So, and then of course we're gonna make a mess. The question is, do you want the coolant put back in at a 50-50 mix, or how are you gonna figure that out? Cause you're gonna dump the coolant. You don't even know if it was a 70-30 or if it was a 90-10. You don't know. So then you put too much coolant in it, and that's as bad as not enough coolant. So there's lots of that going on. I can't answer your question in the sense that I don't know exactly what the 0.8 or what hourly the book rate calls for.
And
but
the
I
hoses
can,
are just like all over the board. I mean, I have no idea because
yeah.
it used to be simple, but it's not that simple anymore.
It's not. I can't imagine that the lower hose is going to pay more than an hour's worth of labor and everybody's between 95 and 135. So I can't imagine that it's – but I've been wrong before. Mm-hmm. I've been wrong before. If any of the shops out there would look up a lower hose for an 06 Duramax and call me, that would be great. Just yeah. give me the book time.
And that would not include the flush or the coolant
and all
that stuff either.
Access two clamps, pull the lower hose off. Well, first of all, we're going to open the petcock and drain all the coolant so don't get showered.
Right.
So then we drain the coolant, then we loosen both clamps, pull the hose out, put the new hose in, put the new clamps on top of it, then find out what the coolant mix is, either put that back in or mix our own. So that's what's going to happen. But what part of town do you live in? I think I can do better for you that way.
I'm in North Phoenix.
Okay, I'm North Phoenix. Give me a cross street.
Yeah, right off of like Dunlap and Central.
Okay. Well, you're kind of close to I-17. You got Kurtz at Bell, and I-17, and you got Action at Deer Valley and I-17. And I promise you both of those guys can handle this and can bid it appropriately at the front side.
Yeah.
If I were you, I'd have them go ahead and do a quick flush with the hose off, and then I'd have them put a 50-50 mix of a universal coolant in it. And then just do it all at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do. But anyway, thank you for the call. Good luck to you, Tom. I hope I've helped you out somewhat.
And I know Kurtz does diesels work too.
Right.
So not that anybody, I mean, a hose is pretty, but if he does need diesel work on anything else.
Okay. And so on a 1 to 10 scale, what is that lower hose? With 10 being the most difficult, let's pull the engine and transmission and transfer case all together.
I don't know. I'd say a 1 or a 2.
I would say a 2 or a 3.
Okay.
So, yeah. It's not an oil change thing. It's not a tire rotation thing. It's not a 2 because that's kind of easy. But it's a 3 or 4. It's not going to be and Tom has made it clear. It's more than he wants to tackle, and that's usually a 3 or 4.
Right.
So, anyway, let's go to Bruce. Bruce, thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Hi, Mark. I'm looking in the used car market, looking for something to tow my 24-foot party barge with, and I'm kind of looking at Tahoe Yukon or Silverado 1500, and it seems to be in a 2016 year that I'm, you know, where my price falls in from what I'm looking at.
Okay.
And I wanted to ask you about, most of them have the 5.3 V8. And as far as what kind of mileage, as far as can I reasonably expect to buy? And I usually put about 5,000 miles on a year.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm probably not expecting to keep the truck maybe 10 years at the most.
Okay, well, you got a lot of questions on the table here. I think our party boat's 24 foot, and I think a half ton truck or a 3/4 ton truck will handle that. So the Tahoe Yukon is a better idea than a half ton ship, a half ton truck, period.
Okay.
So I think they're a little bit bigger, but he's probably going to have a tough time finding it without a 6.0 or 6.2 liter gas motor, which is the bigger motor.
Right.
One way or another, I know you're not going to go 5,000 miles a year towing the boat. I mean, I know that. So I'm going to tell you that fuel economy, and I'm weaseling out of answering your question, but I am going to get there, I promise. Fuel economy, if you let me tape a raw egg to your fuel, to the throttle pedal, and you can drive it without breaking the egg, or if you put a hot cup of coffee filled to the brim between your legs and don't spill it or burn yourself, then you're going to get the best fuel economy in the whole wide world. So it has everything to do with you driving, but on the parameter side, the Yukon Tahoe is going to be in...
Well, ours was like 14 or 15.
I was going to say 11 to 14.
Okay, that's good.
I'm going to err on the side of 11 to 14. All right?
Cha-ching, you're right? Okay.
I'm right or you're right?
No, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then on the downside, you used to get whatever... Or when I drove your Yukon, what did I get?
Well, probably closer to the 11. I don't think it was ever lower than that.
You're right. I would be the 11, but I was hauling the boat, or I was hauling something, or a horse trailer, or whatever. But most of the time, 11 to 14 is the go. Mm-hmm. Now, think about this, too. 11 to 14 over 5,000 miles, and the price of gas is $3 a gallon right now. We're not talking big dollars here for 1 or 2 miles to the gallon. So I like the Tahoe Yukon. I think you'll like it better because you'll have stuff inside that vehicle that you're going to put in the party boat and not in the bed of a truck that's going to blow all over everything. Plus, you're going to be able to lock up your stuff inside the Tahoe Yukon, including the big boat that the grandkids ride on behind the ski rope on your party boat.
Ski banana.
Yeah. And you're not going to be able to do that in a truck. So I personally think, I've walked in your shoes before, my advice to you is I'd get the Tahoe Yukon.
And what about as far as looking at the miles that the vehicle has on it when I buy it? I mean, is 50,000 miles on the odometer? I mean, at what point do I have to worry about, well, over 10 years, you know, I'm going to have some serious problems with the motor or the tranny or something like that?
Okay, I listened carefully to what you said. 5,000 miles a year, 10 years is, you know, 50,000 miles for you. I want to tell you something. Right. I'd be more worried about the maintenance records than I would be anything else. The future, here's the future for you. I replace motors often, and I want to tell you that the motor was, the nut behind the wheel caused the motor to fail. I don't know how else to tell you that. So they overheated it. They ran it low on oil. They were dumb. They didn't pay attention. They didn't see the red lights. They didn't say they read their lights. And but most often, they said, well, I was only 3 miles from home. I decided to drive it home. If you maintain a vehicle good and you don't overheat it or run it low on oil, today you're talking about that 2015-16 spread. Those vehicles will do 200,000 miles, but at 100,000 miles, you're going to be doing the AC system. You're going to be doing lots of hoses and belts and fluids and spark plugs. You're going to do a lot of stuff at the 100 that's going to last the next 100.
So if he's got, if he finds one with 50,000 on it, he's got a ways to go if he only drives 5,000 a year before he has to do a bunch of maintenance.
But wouldn't it be nice to buy something that was owned by one of those guys that over maintains it and changes the oil every 7.5 miles and has already replaced all the belts and the hoses and has a gas log for every dollar he's ever put in it? Yeah. I mean, those are the guys. That's why people buy my cars, because I'm an idiot like that.
Right.
So that's what I would do. And, you know, I'd look in the private party market and just take it and say, I want to take it to my mechanic and I want a used car checkover. You're going to spend about $1.25 for a used car checkover. And this used car checkover is going to tell you what has been done and what needs to be done today. And then you can go back and negotiate the price. So that's how I would handle it. Oh, and by the way, when you're on the party barge, are you the captain of that ship or are you the mate?
Well, I'm the one behind the wheel, but there's another person that's always telling me where we're going.
That's what Mark has too.
I've got more than that. I'm just the steering wheel guy, but everybody's telling me what to do. And the most fun that I have, like you have, is I get the grandkids on those tubes and we just do circles out there in the middle of the lake. And actually they're going sideways instead of, you know, forward, and that's fun for me. But anyway, thanks for calling, Bruce. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
You betcha. 602-508-0960-602. 508-0960. Kurtz Automotive is another guy. I think we talked about him just a few minutes ago.
Yep.
Bell and I-17. MarkSalem.com. Click on Best Car Repair Shops. You're going to find Kurtz there. Kurtz is a good guy. Kurtz is a Better Business Bureau Ethic Award winner. That says a whole bunch. He opened in 1987. Kurt, his wife, his son-in-law, and I think one of them is his son. Mm-hmm. There's four of them that manage that company. And Jeff is a master tech. Eric's a master tech. And so is Kurt. I-17 and Bell, northeast corner, gas and diesel both, and ASE certified technicians. And Bruce?
I think it was John.
John, I'm sorry, John. Go right ahead, and I'm going to give you your answer on the other side of the break because we're close to a break, but let's start the question.
Okay. John, I've got a 2016 Jeep Grand Cherokee V8 8-speed transmission in it. When it was new, it had a slight thump in it when it's slowing down, brought it back to the dealer, says that's the normal event. Now it's gotten, with 25,000 miles on it, it's gotten to the point where you can feel it in the seat of your pants. It's clunking, slow down. And I'm informed that Fiat's aware of it, but it's not any serious problem, and they're not going to fix it at this time. In my world of years of working on cars, that means I've got a drive shaft loose, universal joint.
Right.
Something's ugly. And I still get the same answer, and I wanted to get further and go to Fiat, but I'm not so sure they all don't have it. I don't know anybody else that has one.
I have an answer for you. I have experience in this, so I'm going to give you good advice, but I have to do it after the top of the hour. So right now I'm 40 seconds away, and I've got more to say than 40 seconds. So you stay right there. And anybody else, we have four open lines, 602-508-0960. We have nobody available. I mean, the lines are open, 602-508-0960. And, John, you stay right there because when on the other side, I have a variety of answers for you. But I'm going to make you – you're going to feel at ease because I've walked in your shoes. This has happened to me. And so there's a real key here. But as far as finding somebody that's going to fix it right now, we're probably going to have to wait. So nevertheless, 602-508-0960. I'm Mark Salem. Renee's sitting here next to me, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, thank you for rejoining us for the second hour. My name's Mark Salem. Sitting next to me, here's my wife, Renee, and we've been in the car repair business for 39 years, and actually I started as a kid in 1968 in a gas station in Tempe, a Broadway and Priest. It's the Shell station called Ken's Broadway Shell.
Yep.
and that was a long time ago, and I lied about my age, too. And I remember when he gave me a nickel an hour raise, and I was really excited.
And
I would
gas
love...
was, what, 15 cents, 20 cents?
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. And I'll find that note someday, because I kept it, where he gave me a nickel an hour raise. Anyway, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Automatic Transmission Exchange. They've been in the Valley since 1968, and they've been at 40th Street in Washington since 1968. They do leak repair. They do diagnosis all the way up to rebuild. So leak is the smallest. Rebuild is the most expensive, or the more expensive, I should say, and everything in between. If you have a Dodge truck and you want that transmission to maybe bark the tires, you might want to talk to Phil at Automatic Transmission Exchange. But anybody in Phoenix that needs a transmission problem looked at, Phil will probably drive your car and talk to you for free. But they're not going to do any in-depth diagnostics for you for free. But drive it and talk to you is a good thing. So that's Automatic Transmission Exchange, 40th Street in Washington. Let's go back to John. John,
yeah.
On your 8-speed transmission, let me just tell you a real quick story. A long time ago, I bought a brand new Suburban with a 454 in it. I decided to put a blower on it. So this was a monster engine and a monster 3/4 ton truck. I developed a clunk, and I took it in during warranty a couple times, and they smiled and they said, "You know, Mark, that blower probably caused this clunk, da 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 da." And I said, "That's fine." But I continued every time I took it in to make sure that I asked them to look at the clunk. Fast forward 6 or 7 years later, mm-hmm. It starts acting up. So I take it to them. And I say, "You know, would you look at this?" And this is what happened. They called me back and they go, "You need a transmission." I said, "Okay, well, I'll come and pick it up." And they said, "You don't have to. We're going to fix it." And I said, "Why are you going to fix it?" And he goes, "Because this is a clunk that we have 7 or 8 different repair orders of you complaining about a clunk." And what had happened is the snap ring had come loose, which allowed the shaft to move forward and backward. And after period of time, it wiped out the transmission. We're covering it. So number one, every time you take it in, if you just take it in for the clunk, do it. Make sure they write it down. Make sure they write it down exactly the way you said it. And it's not going to be a Bible. There is a clunk when I take off and when I stop. Every single time, or cold, or hot, or dependent on speed. If it's a slow speed one, there's no clunk, but if there's a high speed one, there is. Get it where you've got the same amount and write it down. Number two, this is an 8-speed transmission, as you said. I want you to start manually shifting the transmission. So okay. I want you to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or whatever, and I want you to just kind of manually shift it. I want you to manually downshift it. And I want you to determine whether or not you can change the clunk. Then I want you to do this. As you're coming to a stop at 20, 30 miles an hour, I want you to shift it into neutral. And I want you to apply your brake and come to a stop and see if the clunk is still there. I need to know if the transmission is hooked to the tires and wheels or not. And you do that by throwing it into neutral.
I understand. Yes, I understand.
Okay. And the good news is we had a lady the other day that had a problem, her car, and we found out that their recall fixed the software problem, but it didn't cover the 15 Honda. It only covered the 14 Honda. But we were able to ascertain that the problem was really an RPM problem and a voltage problem, so we said to her, "We want you to drive your car for a couple of days, and we want you to turn on the headlights all the time." So she says, "Well, I'll manually turn them off, and there's an audible alarm to tell me to turn them." So she calls us back and says, "The problem's fixed." Well, that's the problem the software fixed in the Honda, the 2014. It fixed a voltage problem. So by her turning on her headlights, we're asking for more electricity, which eliminated her idle surging. So we said, drive for a headlight, but pretty soon Honda's going to come out with a software package that's going to update your 2015 Accord and going to fix this. That's what's going to happen to you. But in the meantime, just get as many different work orders that talk about this noise as you can, and that will save you in the long run.
Yes, I actually, with the last, both times that I've been there, it's still under warranty is why I'm trying to get the door shut on it. And I had him write an extensive, 3 or 4 line paragraph on what I said and the response from Fiat on it. And I've got both of those. So I'm just looking at it. And to me, I worry about this, I've dropped drive shafts and pick up some stuff and gone through the bed and things, and I'm just worried that it's got something more serious.
Okay.
It only happens sometimes slowing down. That's the only time I get a clunk in it. When I hit the throttle again, there's no clunk.
Okay.
But when I'm slowing down, it just It's like a really bad downshift.
Okay. And that's why I'm asking you to throw it into neutral at different speeds when you're coming to a stop, because I'm going to eliminate a drive shaft and I'm going to eliminate a transmission downshift. So if you say, this is how I fix it, that's going to help them and you. So anyway, thank you, John. Good luck to you, sir. Good luck to you. Jackie, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hey, I just wanted to give you an attaboy. I've been listening to your show for years. I know nothing about cars or trucks, but your show has always been funny and fascinating. And I had a truck that I stupidly loaned to someone. He drove it, didn't take care of it, and had it for almost a year, and it was then parked at some mechanic in New Mexico.
Okay.
I had it towed directly to your shop. Alan fixed everything, did a phenomenal job, and you've got a customer for life.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you. That's pretty humbling. Alan is my son, as you well know. And Alan and my daughter work there. And my youngest daughter takes care of her oldest brother, and that's her full-time job, is to watch Alan. And I'm very proud of the kids. I'm very proud of my staff. We had dinner the other night, and we all agreed that we've had the best staff we've ever had before. And in 39 years, these guys and the men and the women and the service writers to the technicians to the parts department, everybody is on the same page that Mark wrote in ink, and they've all signed on to Mark's way of doing business. And so I'm very proud of that. And so I want to say thank you. And would you please tell everybody that you're really not related to me?
No, I'm not related, but I own a dairy in Queen Creek, and we have two Ford trucks, and I know you don't like Fords, but Alan obviously does a phenomenal job of fixing them.
Well,
and Randy, my driver, said that it runs phenomenally.
You're exactly right. I got to tell you a secret, though, that I don't want you to share with anybody, okay?
Okay.
I drove a Ford truck up the mountain. I'm at the ranch right now, and Alan has my Dodge truck, and one of the chrome wheels is peeling, so we have to take the wheel off and send it down to have it re-chromed, and that takes 3 weeks. So while my truck's there, I said, I want you to do a full service on it. I says, I want to borrow your Dodge to go back up to the ranch, and he goes, no, my Dodge is busy, but I'll let you take the Ford diesel truck. And I said, okay. So I went down, and I bought a mask. And I put the mask over my head. Now, I understand the risk there, because if a policeman sees a guy driving around with the mask on, he's probably going to stop him and want to know what Circle K I just robbed. But my wife got in the car, and she says, what are you doing, you idiot? And she used some bad words. Even though Snow White is Snow White, she used bad words. And I said, I can't take the chance of anybody getting a picture of me driving a Ford truck. So at the end of the day, about an hour and a half later, I get up to the ranch, and Alan calls me, and he says, I just want to know how the truck ran. And I said, oh, son, you don't want to know. And he goes, Dad, you got there, so I know it got you there. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to tell you this, but don't you tell anybody else. Damn, that thing runs great. I said, man, that diesel just, and it's a two-wheel drive, so it doesn't weigh as much as the four-wheel drives. And it's an older one. It's a five or a six.
I think so, yeah.
And we bought it when it was junk, and Alan put a new diesel engine in it. But I mean to tell you, now, it's not enough to make me love them, but I mean to tell you, man, oh, man, I was surprised. But the worst part about that whole story is, Jackie, that I had to wear this stupid mask for an hour and a half, and my head sweated, but I'll tell you something else. I didn't like the headlights on it. I told you that.
Yeah.
I thought the headlights were terrible. He had put some driving lights on it. They gave us far more better light at night than the headlights did.
Right.
I didn't like the complexity of the dashboard. It seemed back then it was really complex, where now it's a lot easier, but this is 10 years old or 12 years old. And last but not least, it didn't ride bad, but then we discussed it, and Alan said, I have the tires at max because I thought you were going to be hauling the horse trailer, and it's got new shocks on it. That explains it. He aired up the tires too hard, and that made it ride not as well.
Right.
And I also, last but not least, did not care for any of his radio stations that are programmed into his car. So anyway, I will pass it on to Alan. Thank you so very much for your kind words, and I'm glad you're not family and we cleared that up.
Well, I wish I were, but I'll tell you, I'm so glad your shop is near the dairy.
All righty.
Because We have two dairy trucks that you will be servicing from now on. They're never going back to Ford.
Okay, real quick, I want to talk to you about dairy, okay?
2 minutes.
Do you know the Anglin boys?
No.
Okay. Who are they? Arnie and Richard.
Yeah.
Arnie and Richard are dairy guys with Holstein cows. And I'm a cowboy with horses. So Renee and I used to go to the dairies when the bull calves were born, and they weren't worth anything.
Right.
And we'd get the bull calves. We'd get some mother's milk. We would take them home, and the neighborhood kids would bottle feed them two or three times a day for us. They had so much fun. We would grow them into big mother cows or big bull calves, and that quit when one of the bulls walked up behind Renee in the pasture and stood up on his hind legs and put his front legs on her shoulders.
Oh, my gosh.
That was the end of the bull thing. Now, we never got any heifers because they kept heifers to milk, but
right.
We just got bull calves. We have some of the fondest memories over the last 25 years of Norman. We gave Norman away to somebody who had young kids ride Norman.
Right. Well, yeah, it was a home or something.
It was a home for wayward kids or something.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you, the neighborhood kids still talk about going over to Mr. Salem's feeding the bull calves.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know that before we get the bull calves, we want one particular area of their body to be altered. And as you imagine, we used to use a knife to make the adaptation, but today people don't understand that we use this device that's handheld that has a big rubber band on it, and we put the rubber band just slightly above the appendage but the items that we want to remove from the bull calf, and then after 31 days, correct me if I'm wrong, Jackie, after 31 days the bull calf is now a steer.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Okay, see?
That's why we don't keep bulls around, because they get mean.
Yeah, they do.
Now, how much is a bull calf today?
I don't have any idea.
Okay,
one of the guys at the dairy finds people that want to buy them, and we sell them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And you're right, we keep the heifers.
Right.
But we only sell raw milk, so we don't do any pasteurizing or that.
Okay. All right. Well, my email address is mark@marksalem.com. And I have room for maybe one bull calf.
No, we don't.
Yes,
no,
I do. Don't. She doesn't. I do. So mark@marksalem.com. You give it to your guy that handles your bull,
bull
calves, and we'll go from there. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome. Have a good one.
You betcha. Thank you. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to go to Jay. Jay, I know that had nothing to do with cars, but it's really nice to reminisce with someone from that particular era of our life. And what was that bull calf that jumped on your back?
I don't know. I try to block that out of my memory.
Oh, man, that was funny. I saw you go to your knees, and then you ended up underneath him.
Oh.
But I don't think there was any nefarious thoughts in his mind.
No, they were pretty friendly, actually.
Right. I don't think he was thinking that you're a female cow. I think he just put his feet
That's on... good. I appreciate that. All right, we're going to break.
We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. We're not going to talk about bull calves anymore. I've been told that is not a car-related issue.
I am trying to get you back on track.
Okay, and we're going to do that right now, but we're going to take Jake, because he waited through the break and all the bull calf.
BS.
That's right. Okay, fair enough. Jake, you have my full attention, buddy.
Hey, good morning, Mark and Renee. And you're right, I don't have a bull story to share with you.
Good.
That's right. The question I have is, I own a 04 Lexus GS300, and the issue that I'm having is that regardless of the mode that I select on the air unit, the air is just blowing in the defrost position no matter what.
Okay.
And so I can select any position on the air unit, and it just comes out the defrost area.
Okay. I want you to picture a Y in your head, a Y.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On the left vertical part, I'm blowing cold air. On the right side, up high, I'm blowing hot air. And then where the confluence of the two top parts meet the tree trunk, there's a blend door there. So if you ask for cold, the blend door shuts off the hot air, the vein on the right. If you want hot, it shuts off the left, which is the cold air on the left. You've got a problem with the blend door. the Blendor is not talking to somebody. So the motor's bad, or the connection's bad, or the switch is bad. But this is going to be a Blendor issue, and it's going to be, they're going to have to go into the center part of the dash, more than likely, and we're going to have to figure out if this is kind of a diagnostic process that's not going to be cheap. And when I say not cheap, I think it's going to be between $100 and maybe $150, $175 on the diagnostic side. However, sometimes that is a portion of the repair as well, so there's a kind of a double roll. But anyway, we have to diagnose if the signal's being properly sent. Has the signal been properly received? And has the motor done what it's supposed to do? So all of that has to happen. This is not a oil change only kind of shop. This is not an oil change shop that sells tires and is blossoming out into all this other stuff. What part of town do you live in?
40th and Thomas, 40th Street.
Okay. I would 25th Street Auto, or Dave Martin.
Yeah, either one of those.
Martin's good. Auto or 25th Street Auto, 25th and Indian School. I think Dave is at 16th Street and Indian School.
I think
just
so.
Just down the street from him. Those two guys would be a good asset. I would talk to them and ask them, your symptoms were perfect. No matter what I take, I get cold air or hot air out of the vents. That's bingo, yeah. bingo. We know.
Well, in fact, I can tell you, if I push the defrost button off and on, I'm guessing it's the motor, but I can hear something grinding.
Okay. And here's, yeah, the motor is typically attached to an arm, which is typically attached to a plastic door. So the arm bends, the metal falls out of the plastic door, or maybe one of your grandsons spilled a half a glass of lemonade down the vent, and now we've got all this stickiness inside there, and the door's stuck, and the motor's trying to move the door, and it broke the latch, and it broke the arm. That's kind of stuff we run into. So this isn't a big deal. This isn't going to break the bank, but I'm going to guess that you're not going to get out of there for less than $200. And depending on if there's anything in that air conditioning control panel that's bad, we're going to be up north of $300 easy.
Okay. So,
all right, good enough. Thank you, Jay. Thank you very much. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto Repair, 38th Avenue and Indian School, Bob and Ellen. They've been around since 1967. Bob is one of the best diagnosticians I've ever met. I'm going to tell you the truth. I think he's better than I am.
He is very good.
And he has what I have. He has the time and the tenacity to chase problems down. Time is my problem. Tenacity, I'm not as big as him on tenacity side. But they do oil changes, air conditioning services, brake jobs. They do all that. 38th Avenue School. But if you got a car and the story starts that nobody can fix my car, you need to go to Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School. Let's go to Glenn. Glenn, thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Hi, Mark. I'm not related to you, nor am I related to Jackie.
So you don't have any bulls, huh?
No, I don't. Oh, okay. But I really enjoy your program as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I have a question, but first of all, I'd like to tell you something about my call last week. I had a screeching belt, and you said squirt some ironing water on it.
Uh-huh.
And I squirted water on it, and now the sound has disappeared forever.
How many miles are on the car we're talking about?
63.
And it's gone. That's good. It's gone. And you're not due for belts, not at 63. And if the noise is gone and the belt looked good, or the condition on the back and the bottom of the belt looked as good as all the rest of them, then, boom, you're done. I say you just quit. I don't know why it fixed it. It's usually a diagnostic process that we use.
Right.
But you know what? You can't argue with success. So next time the plate passes you by, put an extra buck in for me.
Okay, but I had a quick oil question,
sure,
if I can.
Sure.
Yeah, I want to put synthetic oil in my generator, and it calls for 10:30. What's the equivalent in synthetic?
What kind of generator? Kohler?
It's a Champion.
Okay, I'm familiar with that.
Like an 8,000 watt job.
Okay, why do you want to put synthetic in it?
Well, it's good for my car. I like the taste of it, and I figured I'd put it in my generator.
Okay, fair enough. How many hours a year do you think you use the gen?
Very, very little. Okay. Just whenever APS fails me.
Okay, fair enough. I want to talk you out of the synthetic. First of all, I don't think you're going to find a 1030. You're going to have to go to a 520 or a 530.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not quite sure I want my generator running at a 530, 1030, because we can't control the temperature of the generator because it depends on the load. So it has a wide variation of operating temperature where your car does not. It's probably got a 15 to 20 degree window that it runs in 100% of the time. Number two, this is what I do on all my generators. I have a Bobcat like 15K, and then I have a small Yamaha, and so I have generators like you. At the beginning of every summer, I change the oil in all of them, and I just use a 1030. I use the cheapest 1030 I can find. And then at the end of the year, the next year, at the beginning of the summer, I change it again. So I'm going through the summer with fresh oil, but I'm going to have fresh oil all year long because I don't use my generators much. I know I'm going to coast through the winter with no problem. So at the beginning of the summer, I have four generators, and we change the oil, and I use the cheapest 1030 I can find, and that just happens to be Chevron Delo right now or Havoline, which is the same, and that's because that's the oil we pour. And it's not cheap oil, but it's cheap to me because I'm buying 300 gallons at a time. So that's what I would do. I would skip the idea. Your generator's not going to love you anymore with synthetic. and synthetic is really an oil change interval. Conventional is 3,000 and synthetic is 10. That's not going to help you on your generator. It doesn't apply. So I say stick with the 1030.
Good advice as usual.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Thank you. Dennis, you're up. How can I help you, Dennis?
Hi, Mark. I, unlike your other guests, am a first-time listener. Your show happened to be on as I headed out for Los Angeles this morning. And I've got a question for you about my first new car I ever bought.
Okay.
10 years ago, I bought a 2008 Chevy Corvette.
Okay.
And it's been, you know, just a pleasure to drive. It's not my daily driver, but I drive it regularly. And about 6 or 8 months ago, on a Saturday night, I lost my headlights. They went out. And being, somewhat of a tinkerer when it comes to cars, I'm by no means a mechanic, I was able to limp home with the parking lights on it. I was very close to home.
Okay.
But checked the fuses, checked, the bulbs, did all the kind of the obvious things that somebody at my skill level might do, only to, not discover what was going on.
Okay. All right.
So,
I've got just a minute. I got to take a break. I'm hoping you're going to stay within our range. But first of all, let me tell you, there is no fuse for the headlights. There is a circuit breaker typically on the switch, and so you have to access the back of the switch to hit the circuit breaker. Number two, the high beam, low beam switch is the most predominant reason we lose headlights, because we send power to the high beam, low beam switch, which I think is the turn signal lever on the left side of your steering wheel, which is also the turn signal lever. You pull it, click it once for low beams, click it once for high beams. So we're going to send power to that switch. It's going to go through the automatic system, and then the power is going to go to the headlights depending on how we fix it. So this is typically going to be in what we call the multi-purpose switch. So you stay right there. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Let me finish up with Dennis real quick. And Dennis, I don't know if you can hear me, and I'm hoping you can, because I know you were westbound in California. Do the parking lights come on when the headlights are activated?
Yes.
Okay, good. Are your headlights behind doors or not?
Are my headlights behind doors?
Yeah, do your headlights pop up, or are they available 24/7 and they're not covered by any?
Oh, I see. Yeah, 24/7.
Okay. All right. I want you to try this, but I want you to be parked up against your garage door or in your garage so you can see if the headlights flicker. That's important. I want you to get off the automatic mode, and I want you to go to the manual mode, go to headlights. And with that left turn signal, I want you to kind of wiggle up and down and left and right and in and out. And I just kind of want you to, if you get a flicker out of the headlights, then the multi-purpose switch multifunction switch. That's what it's called because it's probably for your wipers. It's probably for your turn signals. It's probably for your high beams and low beams. Now, when you move the arm, sometimes, depending on the design of the jam car, there's a rod that goes down to the high beam switch and the low beam switch. Sometimes the low beam switch is bad. Sometimes the rod is misadjusted. And I also want you to check, as you mess with this high beam, low beam turn signal lever, I want you to pull your tilt wheel all the way to the bottom and play with it, then go to the middle, then go to the top. If you say, okay, well, the steering wheel makes a difference whether the headlights work or not, then we know everything's working, but we know that, the rod between the multi-purpose switch and the high beam switch is the problem. That will help us. You'll save yourself some money. If you can make it happen or not, it'll save you some money.
Now, the curious thing, one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this is when it rains or when there's moisture, my running lights work.
Your running lights or headlights?
I'm sorry, headlights.
Okay. Okay, that's fine, but I'm not going to chase that. Here's the situation. You are not, it's good you tell them. But really, I don't want to chase that because when I'm done, I'll be able to tell you why that happened. So that's a question that's a valid question, but it's not going to help me diagnose the problem. But I can answer it, but only after I fix it. For instance, maybe you got a windshield leak, and maybe it's dripping water down on the high beam or on the high beam low beam switch. So when I take the switch out, it's all rusty and stuff like that, and I go, okay, well, this is the reason why water made a difference. I'm giving you an example that I've not seen before, but I'm just giving you that as an example. But this isn't going to be a hard one. Do you have a shop to do your Corvette work?
I do, yeah.
Okay, all right. I think if you play around with it a little bit, you'll save yourself some diagnostic money. If you can say to them, if the steering wheel is all the way in the down position and I play with the lever, I can make the headlights come on. But if in the up position, I can play with the lever from now until we're all dead and nothing happens to the headlights, you have just saved him a lot of money. You've just saved yourself a lot of money, okay?
Perfect.
Okay, thank you, Dennis. Thank
all
you very
right,
much.
Hey, thanks, Mark.
You betcha. Thank you. We've had three happy people today. Can you believe that? Anyway, I'm going to get to Roy in just a second. The lines are open, 602-508-0960. We have four lines. Roy's holding, but I need to take care of 15 seconds worth of business. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by S&S Tire and Auto Service. By the way, you'll find my best shops at list is marksalem.com, and then click Best Shops, and you can find all the shops that I tell you are good guys. And I'm telling you that because I know them. S&S has been around since 1976. They have three locations, Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear, so they're Westsiders. They have the most comprehensive line of tires and many different brands of tires. So you go in and you say, here's my size. They look at it, and you say, I want three prices, good, better, best. They can pull that off. They can have three different kinds of tires, three different pricing.
2 minutes.
So if you're going to put new tires on it and you want the best, they got them. You're going to return it to lease, but you need better than you got, then they got them. So they've got whatever you want. Plus, they do oil changes, they balance your new tires, and they can read the front tires, determine what kind of issues you may have, and if you want, they can do alignments and suspension work to correct any abnormal wear of the front tires. So you get the best. And that's the problem with alignments. And you go and you have new tires put on, then you bring it to me and say, I want you to align it because I had a problem. I would love to have seen those old front tires. So the big question is the guy that replaces the tires should be the one to fix the abnormal wear. And S&S is perfect for that. Okay, Roy, thank you for holding. How can I help you?
I got a question on engine oil for a 6.7 Ford 250 diesel. I've been using Dello 400 or Rotella with the CJ. Now I can't find that. They have CK out there, but Ford doesn't recommend using CK.
1 minute.
Okay. Well, I want to tell you something. There's no such thing as a Ford anything. Your car and my trucks and all, everybody that has Fords and Chevys and Dodges. My truck is made up of parts from all that are sourced all over the world. And we have the same problem with what's that to General Motors? Dex. Is it Dex or?
Dextose.
Dextose. Everybody says, oh, you have to use General Motors Dextose in your new car. I say BS, and I'll tell you why. Dextose is just the name that somebody put on their oil to make it proprietary that pretends like it has something. In reality, all of our Chevron oils are Dextose approved. They're not really approved. They match or exceed the Dextose one drop of magic lotion in a quart can. Okay? In your particular case, you remember that all the oil levels are A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. So what happens is every time we change an oil, when we raise the bar, we go to a different letter. I want to tell you, every vehicle that comes into my shop, and Roy, I promise you, every diesel that's on the road, predominantly the Chevy, the Dodge, and the Duramax, those guys get a synthetic oil, which is a 540, and that gives them longer oil change intervals, or they can use a semi-synthetic, a blended oil, which is a 1540, and that comes with about a 6,000-mile oil change. Your Ford is going to be 7,500, and don't forget to rotate the tires and check the fuel filter. The rotate of the tires is pretty important on your Ford as it is the Dodge. So oil changes and rotate of the tire, they go kind of hand in hand. But in the real world, you can use your Dello, you can use your Rotella, you can use any of those guys, because first of all, Ford can't say that you have to use their product without providing you their product for free. It's called the Magnuson-Moss Act, and you can look it up yourself. It's a federal act. The vacuum cleaner companies used to tell them that if you buy our Eureka, you have to buy our bag. Then Toyota started telling everybody, if you buy our Toyota, you have to buy our Toyota filters. Well, the Toyota filters are made at the Champ factory, and the Champ factory makes 47 million different brands. It's the same filter with different paint on it. It's just like, what is it, Comfort? What's it? What's that that makes the batteries?
I don't know the name of it, but I know you said one manufacturer.
One manufacturer makes 89% of the batteries sold in the United States, and they all have different labels. So I would say to you, we have the 7.3, then we have the 6.0, then we have the 6.4, and then we have the 6.7. So you got the newest engine. I'm putting Dello 540 or 1540 in all of those. I'm not scared, and I.
But he was asking about the KJ and the KL. Well, you think it's just a
step
brand up.
Okay. A, and then B was better, C is better, D is better, blah, 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 all the way up.
Okay.
So, but really and truly, those letters used to mean something, but they don't mean anything anymore because they'll go from a J to a K to an L in 1 year.
Okay.
And it's because of one drop of additive in a quart of oil. So they're not going to backwards. It's not a situation where the K eliminates everything behind it. That's not what it is.
Okay.
Can you imagine the chaos that would create?
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Everybody has to go to a K oil. Oh, yeah. Well, what about the 1,000 gallons of 4,000 quarts I've got in my underground tanks that's brand new?
Yeah.
Well, that you've just devalued that?
Mm-hmm.
So now, if I owned a 6.7 Ford and I own a 6.7 Dodge, I'm putting whatever we got in it, the Chevron. I hope I've answered your question, Roy, but I want to tell you I'm happy to change your oil. I'm happy to write down that I'm putting Dello in it. I'm happy to write down that I'm putting a 540 or a 1540 and sign in the work order because I'm not scared of the ramifications of this new Ford. And keep in mind, this new idea from Ford was not brought down with a guy with long hair and a white gown that's written on a rock from some high mountain in another country, okay? That's not it. They may think they're that way, like Dodge and Chevy does too, but it's not. So that's my take on
that. Okay. Well, we better take a break.
We're going to take a break. Now, the lines are wide open, so if you'd like to call us, you can get in right now. We got 5 lines, and I can get you all done by the top of the hour. Gil, do we have a doorbell right now?
We do.
Okay. So that means we got one line that's taken, so we got 4 open. So Gil will answer the phone. We'll be back. Welcome back, everybody. 46 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and we're going to go to the phones because that's what I promised. And let's go to Tom right off the bat. Tom, how are you?
Real good. How are you?
I'm good. Good. How can I help you today?
Well, Mark, first off, I want to tell you I really enjoy your show, and I don't get a chance to listen to it as much as I'd like to. But a couple months ago, maybe about 6 or 7 months ago, you're not going to remember it, but you helped me out. Because I had taken my 2003 Toyota Tacoma in to have it inspected, and right off the bat, they told me, after they collected money for me, that they couldn't read, weren't able to read it. And I didn't know exactly what he meant. And he said, no, you got to go inside. And so I went inside, and he said, have you changed your battery? And I said, yeah, but I said, about 7 months ago, why? And he said, well, there's a problem. We can't read it. And so I got all their paperwork. They told me I had to take it into a dealer or else try to fix it myself so that the computer would be able to read it. And so I called Toyota, and Toyota said, well, you have to take it to a dealer. So I called the dealer, and they wanted like $175. And you recommended a place. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I've got the day off tomorrow, and I'll just take it to your place in Tempe.
Okay.
Well, I drove there, and I'll try to make this real short. I drove there, and when I got there, I had forgotten my billfold, and I live in Glendale. So I went in, and I told the lady, I said, hey, I forgot my billfold. I said, I do know my charge card number. Would I be able to do that? And she said, the lady works behind the desk, and she said, yeah, that'd be fine. So they took my car in, and they checked it, and they came right in and said, hey, we can read it. And I said, well, what do you think was wrong with it? He said, I'm not sure that the guy really knew what he was doing. And he said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just take it down and run it through for you. And I said, well, I don't have any cash with me because I'm in the billfold. They said, well, we'll just add it to your bill. So they went down, and they checked it out, and it passed. He brought it back, and he said, there's really nothing wrong with it. And I think you charged me like $79 or something like that, and plus running it through to get it inspected. And I just want to tell you, I really appreciate that because I didn't expect that good a service from anybody, let alone somebody going out of their way to make sure it was taken care of. So,
okay.
Anyway, just wanted to share that with you.
Let me tell you what you don't know. That little okay. girl that you talked to is my daughter, and she's
really?
Been around the... she's been in our business, family business, since she was 10. And today her business card says this. It says, Andy Salem Verdugo. And then it says, CEO. And then it says, babysitter for the men at Salem Boys. That's what it says on her business card. And
well, you can tell her from me. She really has her ducks in a row because she was, I mean, she didn't even bat an eye when I told her I didn't have my billfold. And I told her I could remember my card number. She said, hey, that's fine. We're going to take care of you. And I told my wife, I said, anything, I don't care how far I have to drive, anything I need to have done, I want to take it over there. Because I said, you know, because I worked for a car dealership for 2 years a long time ago. And since then, I worked for a diesel business in Phoenix for 36 years. And you don't see that kind of service anymore. And I just really appreciate it. So I'm
okay.
going to tell you that.
Well, What my daughter Andy is very good at is making decisions. My daughter Andy is very good at extending courtesies to people. We don't look up if you've been in before or if you haven't. Although the other day there was a guy in the lobby that I recognized, so I looked up, and we have 35,000 customers, and his number was 6,666. So I went over and sat down next to him, and we talked for a while because the guy's been around a while, and he's been our customer for a long time. So I did hear snippets of this from our son Alan. You came in and you had left your wallet. The $70 charge was, we took the battery cables off, we started what we called a reboot after we got the car back together, put the battery cable back on, we started it up, we plugged in our scanner, and lo and behold, we could talk. And so they drove the car to reset the monitor, and or they put in an auxiliary power source to save the monitor, because what's happened is they wouldn't do your emissions test because the monitor had not been reset. So somebody had disconnected the battery, and the monitor hadn't been reset. You have to drive it for a little while to reset the monitor, so the computer kind of sees parameters. So by the time they got it down there, then it had reset. They got it through emissions. They came back. We're not out a bunch of money. I think you spent 20-some-odd dollars for the retest or something like that. I can't comment on what the guy said that they couldn't do and you had to go to Toyota, because let me tell you what that means in my world. You have to go into the dealer. That's because I can't fix it, and I'm going to tell you that the only person smarter than me is the dealer. Well, nothing could be further from the truth, and I'll tell you why my example is. I'm not bragging about my guys. Don't misunderstand me. You got guys that works just strictly, would you get that phone, please? You got guys that work strictly on Toyotas. If you give them a Chevy, a Ford, a Chrysler, a Dodge, a Honda, they're going to stumble around a little bit. The independent market doesn't have that choice. Every shop in town that's an independent has guys that can work on all cars. With some limitations. The Audis especially kind of weird, and some other cars. But I'm glad. Thank you very much for your attaboy, but it's an atta girl. And her name was Andy. And I'm very proud of her. And she's just blessed us 2 years ago with our fifth grandchild, little Josie. And Josie's there a lot. But I'm proud of my staff for treating you that way. I'm proud that they didn't make a big deal about money. I'm quite sure she could look at you and knew that you weren't John Dillinger. And I'm glad that they extended those courtesies to you, and I think that there's a lot of other shops that would have done the same thing.
Well, they might have, but she even offered to buy me a soda since I didn't have any.
I got to tell you a funny story.
Let me
tell you a funny story. This is a true story. True story, I swear to God. Andy came to me one day, and she said, the guys are going next door to the Quick Trip. And she says, Dad, they're over there 15, 20 minutes. There might be six of them. And she says, that's 2 hours of lost productivity. What do I do? And I said, first of all, Andy, they've been going over to Quick Trip for 20 years. But I understand your situation. You need to come up with something. Okay? So she comes to me and she says this. She says, Dad, I'm going to bring in a soda pop machine in the lobby. I'm going to have Coca-Cola come in, and I'm going to have the guys pick their flavors, and I'm going to put a soda pop machine in there. And I said, okay, so they don't have to go to a Quick Trip. And she says, that's right. So a little while later, she calls me up, and she says, I've run into my first hitch in the giddy-up. And I said, so what's the matter? She says, well, the pop machine is in, and I thought it made ice, but it doesn't make ice, and the ice machine is like $4,000. True story, Renee?
Yeah, it is.
True story?
Yeah.
And so I go, well, you're already knee-deep into this mud pile. You might as well get an ice machine. I said, but put a sign in the front lobby that says, if you need ice, it's free at Salem Boys. Because we can give ice away because this monster makes all kinds of ice.
Oh, yeah.
So she puts it all in, and about a month later she said, they're still going over there. And I said, okay, fine. I'm going to go over there with them the next time they go.
Now they want food.
Yeah. Now they want food.
We're not bringing in McDonald's.
Yeah, they've unionized, and now they want food. Yeah. So I walk over to Quick Trip, and it becomes very apparent to me, this old salty gray-haired guy, of what the problem is. Tom, you're going to recognize this. She was really pretty. She had blonde hair, and she was eye candy to most men. She was pretty. And so I went over to Andy, and I said, you're losing the battle because the girl next door is really pretty, and she's really nice, and they're all over there talking to her. But through the grace of God, 2 weeks later,
mm-hmm.
she was transferred to another store, and the Quick Trip visits stopped. Mm-hmm. And now, and because we had this pop machine in the lobby, Andy goes, I'm just going to give customers free soda pops. And so we put a water, and we tell everybody, the tow truck drivers, the parts delivery people, anybody who walks in our door, get a free soda pop. But the story behind it is twice as funny as the soda pop.
Oh, yeah.
Because
men are all the same.
We never figured that the blonde beauty queen was our problem.
Yeah.
We thought, whatever. But anyway, that's a true story. You can take it to the bank. Right, Renee?
It's true.
She's my lie detector, Tom. She tells everybody
good.
When I'm fibbing, but I just told the true story.
Yeah, you did.
So
Thank you.
Give your daughter a hug for me, and I appreciate it.
Okay. And I'm
good
to
talk
that.
To you. Thank you very much.
It's been a good day for us.
Yeah, it has been.
This show has never been about us, folks. I can go months, if not years, without saying the name of our shop. It's not about our shop. It's about our industry and the good guys in our industry. I'll tell you another quick story because I'm in the storytelling mood.
Really?
Back in 1988, my mother, who was an executive secretary for the likes of the executives at Phelps Dodge, Occidental Petroleum, APS, she was a very proper lady. And one day she called me after I'd been on the radio about, I don't know, a couple months, 3 months, 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
This is what she said. You sound like crap. And I said, Mom, I don't have any experience in radio.
2 minutes.
I don't know what to do. She says, you're thumping your chest and you're telling everybody how good you are. And you're constantly talking about your shop. She says, here's the key, son. Develop credibility first and there'll be a path to your door. I didn't really believe her, but I took her advice. And so I started the best car repair shops list. It was other guys in the town that I knew. So, where do you live? I'm going to send you to a shop I trust. Now, it goes without saying that we've benefited from our radio experience since 1988. But it's not because I'm thumping my chest. It's because I've got your interest in front of my own. Now, certainly Tom ended up at our shop, and it's okay. We take new customers. But the bottom line is we're not here for us.
Yeah.
We're not thumping our chest. We're not telling you that we're the only shop in town. Because, frankly, there's guys out there that are every bit as good as we are and a couple that might be better and been in business longer.
Yep.
I aspire to be like them. So we're 39 years. We've been around a while. And we're not going to go anywhere because now we have our second generation moving in.
Yep.
But between Renee and I, my wife and I, who've been married 44 years, we're there at the shop at least 3 or 4 days a week.
Yep, I'm there for sure, too.
And she's watching Josie, our granddaughter. But my wife has the same authority as Andy, and no one has more authority than they do except me.
Yeah, but, and you can be overruled, but that, whatever.
And then my son, Alan, has a vote. So sometimes the vote's 3-1, and I lose.
Yep.
And then, of course, I'm a little sad about that.
Yeah. But we'll be back next week with Swap Shop.
Yeah, Swap Shop at 9 o'clock. And then we'll be back at 10 o'clock next Saturday from 10 to noon. And don't forget Strictly Diesel. He's up in North Phoenix. He works on all kinds of diesel trucks. He's really, really good. His name is Nate. Deer Valley and I-17. You can't go wrong. Nate at Strictly Diesel.